Blog Talk Radio.
March 17th, 2014, and this is Foxology Today. I'm Sober Ray Fox, your host, and welcome to another edition of Foxology Today. I'm feeling excited about today, but I get excited about a lot of stuff. I'm pretty easy that way, but that's a good thing. You know, it's, to me, just a good thing to get up and get excited about whatever might seem exciting. I've learned that most of the time you have to create those things. You have to give yourself things to look forward to. And you just can't always wait for exciting things to happen unless it's something you just have been, you know, had in the works. But instead, at night I like to make myself some mental notes or jot down on a list things I'll do for the next day. And you know what? You would be absolutely surprised and amazed at how you would feel if you just did those simple things. And I'm just talking about stuff like you might want to jot down calling an old friend that you've been out of touch with, or start reading a book that you may have been putting out, or start planning a really wonderful vacation or cruise, just stuff like that. Looking to joining a club or getting out with some new people or joining a community organization. Or even something fun like trying something new to eat or cooking something that's new and different for dinner, you would just be, I'm telling you, amazed at how excited those things can make you. That list could be almost endless, people, but life can feel good and worth waking up to when you create things to look forward to for sure. Now, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. And how's that for a segue into today's topic? How about thinking, with emphasis on thinking, of fun and exciting things you can do for the one you love? Yeah, I believe it takes some thinking. Today, my guest is prominent author, speaker, and relationship expert, Dr. D. Yvonne Young. And you may have seen him on local and national TV, CNN, ABC, NBC, Access Hollywood, and featured in many publications. And he's also the host of his own weekly online radio show, Conversations with Dr. D. Yvonne Young. Today, we'll talk about things we do for love, creating happiness and harmony in your relationship. And there are ways to do that, and he's going to tell us about it. Good morning. Welcome, Dr. Young.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, you know, I'm blessed and highly favored. That truly is my story, and I'm sticking with it. I know you're moving around. I know you're moving around a little bit this morning. I'm so thankful you could join me this morning.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Oh, that's great. Well, we're going to go ahead and jump right into this and talk about things that we do for love, and particularly those things that we want to learn how to really create some real happiness and harmony. I just want to ask you, coming out of the gates, do you feel that people are actually thinking enough about the things they need to do to keep a relationship happy and harmonious? And again, I emphasize thinking about it. I mean, really kind of coming up with stuff that, you know, makes it work.
I think the problem is that people are doing too much thinking and not enough doing. We find that there's such an emphasis on manifesting what people believe to be the trappings or the circumstances that look like love that they don't really focus on the ingredients that actually create it.
That's awesome. So there are ingredients, and what would you tell us some of those are that, again, can be the right mix for approaching a relationship and being in it for let's say, the long run?
Well, the first thing is you must be present. You cannot be living in your past, holding on to things that have cast a long and dark shadow to the degree that now you have allowed these things to impact your future. There is a disservice that you do yourself when you decide that now is the time for I want love, I want this relationship, I want something fresh and new. But how can you have something fresh and new when you're using an outdated operational program? It's the equivalent of utilizing a bad map and wondering why you're getting lost.
Okay, that's a great analogy. So be present. What will you say to people who find that very difficult? So many people have been in bad relationships, and they may not even know how to create the best map. And sometimes they're unfortunately even looking for the person that they're getting involved with to make that new map. But I know that one of the things that you said, and I posted it again today, is that in order to be in a really good relationship, we have to start with ourselves. And so you might want to enlighten us on what you mean by that.
Well, that's a good comment. The first thing is stop having a doggone pity party and blaming other people for your condition. All people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lesson. Sometimes the reason why your last relationship didn't work is because what happened in the relationship prior to that one, you did not learn your lesson. You are pointing fingers and you're blaming someone. You're running around saying someone owes you money because you went and tried to buy love, and when in fact the person doesn't owe you money, you just haven't owned up to the fact that you contributed to your own spoil. There is so much that people do on a consistent basis that is so dysfunctional. And what has happened is that dysfunction has become their normal. So they think by surrounding themselves with other people that are broken and hurting, that it's kind of like being in a room full of people that have different disabilities. And if everyone in the room has an affliction, all of a sudden, you don't see yourself as afflicted. You just figure, okay, this is the way people operate in this room, when in fact, someone that walks in focused and healthy, they can quickly see, okay, this room has an odor of alcohol and liniment. It's something's wrong in here. But until you get out of that place and start owning your contribution to your dysfunction and your contribution to why you are by yourself, I don't care who you meet, you could start dating Jesus and it wouldn't work out with you.
Let me ask you this. Are you suggesting, or would you suggest, that when there is still baggage, when there's still pain, when there are things that you still taken to another relationship, would you suggest that a person, a man or a woman, just be still for a while and get themselves healed first before they even try it?
I'm going to say two things, yes and no. First, get yourself healed, definitely. Be still, no. Get off your behind and get some help. Go see somebody like me, or start the process of towards self-actualization. Look at the things that have historically been damaging to you. If you're still sitting around crying every day and texting someone, sending them many novels, in a text message where your thumbs are hurting because you just cannot get over this last person, and you're saying, I can't believe you did me like this, and you're so mean. Well, no wonder. Who the heck wants to walk up and kiss a cat with a hump in his back or a hissing snake? No one. So get rid of this stuff that you're carrying around. Stop blaming the world for something that you were a party to. And moreover, if you feel that you have been in one dysfunctional relationship after another one and cannot find something that's a good fit, ask yourself this question. What do all of those relationships have in common? The answer is you. So maybe it's not the other people. It's you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do really like that advice about getting good advice and counsel from someone who is a professional, and also making sure you are reading good material that can help you through the course, because that there's a reality in the pain of breaking up or letting go and all of that. That's a reality. But the key thing that you said there is that you do have to make that decision that you're going to stop that and not do all of those dysfunctional types of actions, the texting and the blaming and all of that, because it usually is just going to land flat and not help in any way or another. Do you feel that there are a lot of negative types that are being presented to us, I guess in two ways? Times what we have experienced ourselves or lived with parents or relatives or, you know, things that we experience that give us poor ideas and images about relationships. And also there's a whole lot of it on TV. And I know I have seen a lot of buy-in to that as that's just the way things are. And, of course, you as the expert know that there is a whole different level in consciousness about having real connection, intimacy, and love. So I'd like for you to say what you think about the negative images and ideas, and if you feel that they really do play a huge role in some of the directions and mistakes that people make.
Well, That's a very broad question, but I'm going to say this. Everything begins with you being an active listener. What I mean by that is, what are you saying to yourself? Are you paying close attention to what your thoughts are? Are you monitoring the things you're allowing yourself to share with you? Often there's too much of an emphasis on an external component affecting what we do, be it a person, a set of circumstances that we're in. But the truth be told is, what emotional state are you consistently residing in? And based on that emotional state, that's from emotions come feelings, and from feelings come thoughts. Many people think that if I just start talking and saying the right things, that the reality of what I said will follow, which that is a bunch of bull. The truth is, you must start having the right emotional state. And once you have an emotional state that is positive, your feelings are positive, and your feelings create positive thoughts. So that is the starting point. You're not going to find transcendence nor happiness because you started going to church, because you stopped drinking, because you stopped cursing. It's going to be because you are aware.
Can you tell us any actual steps, again, that we take to get there? I know, you know, I understand what you're talking about, but if you could break it down in some doable pieces for people who listen, what do you mean by that? I mean, we all want to get to the other side, of course, of if there's dysfunction. We want to be in a place where it feels like I'm normal and I'm healthy, and I ought to be able to approach a relationship with a great idea about how to make this thing get going and making it last. So break it down a little bit more if possible.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to give two very critical steps. The first step is stop looking for love, stop looking for a relationship, and sit your behind down somewhere and start thinking. And just for about an hour, at random times over the next couple of days, every 10 minutes, write down, what did you find crossing your mind? You know, let's stop for a minute and think, okay, well, what was I thinking about in the last 10 minutes? And write it down, whatever it is, whether it's plucking a chicken, going and pressing your hair, whatever it is you're thinking about doing, just write it down, whatever. And if you find that when you look back at that piece of paper over, let's say, a 72-hour period, what reoccurring theme do you see present? Because wherever your thoughts are, that's exactly what's bringing about circumstances, situations, and people in your life, whatever the essence of those thoughts are. Some of you are sitting there with your little horny self, and all you keep thinking about is sex. You just sex every, you know, and you're thinking about with everything from an inanimate object to a couple of different people to changing genders. Other people are thinking about picking out wedding dresses, and they don't even have a groom yet. Other people are, one minute they're happy as heck about life, next minute they're angry as hell about something out the past. But let's get a good roadmap to these thoughts. Second thing, where are you placing yourself? Meaning, where's your time being spent? When you don't have to work, where do you go? And if you go nowhere, that's just as much as a problem as staying in the streets. Because if you're always in the streets, you're never spending the time, quality time, along with you to be introspective. But if you're sitting in the house and you don't get out and engage the outer world, you become neurotic and you tend to believe what you perceive reality to be is really reality, when in fact it's not. That is your limited view because you haven't left the confines of your home. You go from one confined space to a car or to a subway, which is another confined space, to your cubicle or your office, another confined space, and you're not engaging life. So those are the two first steps that you must take in order to get some awareness as to where you are.
That's excellent advice, excellent advice. Well, let's talk about some things that can really be satisfying in another way. What do you believe about real intimacy and how to create it with someone? So now we're talking about actually being engaged in a relationship with somebody. Give us the picture of what you feel real intimacy looks like. And for those who maybe are wanting to do that, what are some of the things to do to help create that kind of connection?
Well, the first thing is sex has nothing to do with it, and that's probably going to rock some worlds. But what kind of listener are you? If you're a passive listener, that means that you are always listening and never contributing your own thoughts, which is not functional. And if you're overly engaged in being an aggressive communicator, meaning you're always talking, you're never listening, you're not paying attention, that's equally rude. And if you do a mixture of the two, some people say it's bipolar, but it's just utterly dysfunctional because either you're talking too much or not enough. So what you want to learn to do in creating intimacy is be present. You know, so put yourself in a position, whether it's on the telephone via Skype or in person or FaceTime or whatever you're doing, to really make it a point to actively, willfully participate in exchanges of conversation with someone. The other thing is be present in the moment. Don't rush through life. Enjoy sitting and talking. Enjoy the touch of someone's hand. Enjoy putting your head on someone's bosom or on their shoulder. Appreciate the little things that people do for you, such as opening the door or saying excuse me and allowing you to finish a statement. And I guess the really one of the most significant things is make the person with whom you're dealing feel appreciated and heard. And that's so simple, just by saying things like, I appreciate you, thank you, or I realize you did not have to do that. And when people talk, repeat back what they said to you so they can, and I'm not saying mimic them because they'll think you're an idiot, but just, you know, if someone said something, say it back in your own words so that they can really feel that you are in the conversation and you're there, you're present.
It sounds like one of the important things in what you just said, and maybe you can offer some additional reflection on this, you really need to like the person that you're spending time with. And I'm wondering if in an approach to a relationship, if people are always thinking about that, or are they thinking about some other basic needs that they may have just to be with somebody, have a boyfriend, have a girlfriend, sexual needs, rather than thinking about being with someone who they really like to be with, or he likes to be with, she likes to be with him. Otherwise, I think the relationship becomes laden with frustrations. Let me hear what you have to say about that.
Well, putting a spin on what you're saying, you need to know why you're there. You know, when you look at everything from a very selfish standpoint, and I'm not talking about narcissistic selfish, I mean good selfish, where why are you there? Why do you like this woman? I've always said to women, when you're dealing with a man, you should be able to say why he likes you. And if you are, same thing from a man to a woman, because if you cannot say, and I'm not talking about some fluffy-wuffy, you know, Pollyanna crap. I mean, real stuff like he likes my little waist, he likes my legs, he likes my elbows, whatever it is that this guy likes about you physically. Likewise, you should be able to say, he has an appreciation for the fact that I know how to take care of business, that he loves the way that I keep my home. He loves the way that I do blank, whatever blank is to him or for her. So having a tangible and a real understanding of why someone is constituent to your life is the key for being happy with that someone. And likewise, it's the key for your happiness. You know, what we do is we get people that fill gaps rather than people that we connect with. We just have somebody there that, you know, you fill in a gap. And what good is a temporary feeling? It's not. So you need something that really connects to a permanent part of your being.
Okay, I have a question to ask about that, because I think there's a new, maybe even an unconscious psychology that people approach relationships that way. And unfortunately, just based on what you said, if you're just trying to fill a gap and you may not even realize it, that you can't always have the expectation that it's going to be fruitful or, you know, blossom into something that's more meaningful or something that really looks like it makes real good sense to be in it or stay together.
Well, the thing is, it's not about the other person. It's really about you, and it's really about who you are and what is your current status in life. What is it that you need right now? You know, look, we need to stop wanting everyone to, like we're children, you know, you're Ken and she's Barbie, and that's foolish. Be who you are. Be if you know that you're still getting it together and you need to be back in school, you don't need to be trying to make somebody your boo. You need to focus on your books and do well and get that part of your life together. If you know that you're still dealing with trying to get children out the house, okay, it's great to have someone special to share adult time with, but finish parenting and raising your children properly. And see how that person can contribute to that set of circumstances. If you know for a fact that you're not ready to commit and you want someone that is available to share quality time with and to take a few trips with and to share intimacy with, be realistic about your needs and stop trying to do things according to other people's standards. Set your own.
Yes, I like that a lot. I was just about to ask you about expectations, because I've had people share with me and about their relationships some of the expectations that they have, and this is both men and women, but they're unspoken expectations they are the kind that you just described. It's just a kind of, this is based on something I saw or on TV or somebody else knew or heard about, but that person in my life is not doing that. I'd like for you to reflect on what you feel are realistic approaches to that, and that we just really do have to talk about that and what to do if that's unfulfilled. I know that was three questions, but I know whatever you're going to say, you'll address it.
Well, actually, it may be three questions, but it's one theme. And that theme is quit expecting other people to complete you, because they can't. Never are you going to date someone that is going to be the cure-all for what's missing in your world. Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
At best,
right,
what you're doing is you're trying to find an external solution to an internal problem, and it'll never happen. Make sure that when you endeavor relating to someone, that you are first relating to yourself. If you think that another person has the ability to come magically into your life and now everything is going to be fixed, you're delusional. The truth is, the more authentic, the more transparent, and the more that you can be who you really are, not who you're pretending to be with someone, the greater the odds of that relationship developing into something meaningful, or if it's already a relationship, that's when it can really endure and last and be fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as far as expectations, then, we need to be open and accepting. Is that basically what you're saying that we should do, is keep our minds open to the fact that there are experiences that come and ideologies and all of that that would come with an individual, and somehow we manage to find ourselves on the same playing field?
Well, I will say this. The truth about that is, allow the moment to be the moment. Time answers all things. Sometimes we are sitting here thinking a little too hard about too little, and the things that we should give our attention to, we don't. By that I mean, there's way too much emphasis on where we want things to be and not enough emphasis on where things really are right now. The key to being successful is being present in the moment. Stop living in the past. Don't try to live for tomorrow. But right now, maximize the moment.
I love that. I love that. Well, let's talk about some specific strategies for creating harmony and happiness. And let me just kind of give you an idea of where I'd like for you to go. I'm looking for things that are specific, that they may be general, but they may be specific. And I'm going to ask you one about intimacy with sexual intimacy. And I'm asking this because you said something I thought was critical about it. It's not the same as real emotional satisfaction in intimacy. I'm sure you'd get a lot of argument to say that it didn't play a huge role in both for men and women. But you hear everything from it's not as important as the emotional and the psychological intimacy and all of that. And you know, I'm sure there'd be everybody screaming, "Oh, that's not true." But what healthy role do you say, and do you think people are spending enough time in that level of intimacy? And I'll tell you, one of the things that just unnerves me when I watch TV and I see these people engage in this, you know, 10 seconds of sexual intimacy, and of course I know it's scripted and, you know, they're trying to make it come across a certain way. But in so many ways, I feel the message that comes across lacks what real lovemaking is supposed to do and feel like and express, just because that messaging comes across as, okay, this is a slam bang thing and as heightened as you can make it within those few seconds, wow, we got the job done. I've lived long enough to know that that's really not the, I mean, there may be times and moments for that, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a connection that should be made. I want you to talk about your thoughts on that and what's enough, what your thoughts are, as far as connecting.
Sex is just that. It's fun. It's meant to be enjoyed. And you need to be realistic about why you're having it. You know, if you're just horny and you want to have sex, be honest. You know, we live in, if you're no longer a virgin, trying to wait around and become one again is futile. Ain't going to happen. You can't strike a match. Nor am I saying run around here and act like a hedonistic beast and, you know, just start spraying into the ethers your pheromones. I'm not saying that either. But what I am going to say is this. Be realistic about it. If sexual intimacy is something that you need and you know you're not ready to commit to a relationship, you're not ready to be accountable to someone, that's not going to stop your need for appreciation of sex. So find someone that you can connect to that you really have trust in, because and you can be yourself with and be transparent with. There's nothing wrong with having a good sex life. The other side of it is don't play with sex, because here's what's going to happen. No matter how much you try not to be connected, once you start having sex with someone, you are connecting with them. Those soul ties are really there, and they're not going anywhere. So if you're going to let your panties hit the floor, understand that when you get back up, you just took a part of that person with you. And if you ever become so callous and so sterile, where it's just, you know, you came, that was it, you just got off. You know, how many pieces of you now have you disconnected from your continents? I mean, how many pieces? Because sex should resonate with you at a deeper level. So summing all of that up, you have to do you and be you when it comes to the bedroom. But Shakespeare said it best, to thine own self be true.
I think there's a level, though, I'd like to make sure, and you did say that within what you said, that there's an understanding about it that I'd like to make sure people grasp, again, because and maybe it's just my response to what I see that, as I said, kind of unravels me when I see it. But there is a special connection there when it's a good one. There is a real relating. There is that real wonderful kind of intimacy that can happen between a man and a woman that really can continue to strengthen the ties that bind you. And I'm saying that again in reference to what comes across so much, and I think there's a huge buy-in to it, that it lacks meaning. It is just sex. It is just what it is. And for some people, they're going to be perfectly okay with that. But for I think a lot of people really are looking for something that has a deeper connection to it. And I just wanted to make sure that we put something out there to let them know, yeah, this is when it's really good, when it's really meaningful, and it's not just something that, you know, is an aid, you know, for the moment. Although I'm sure there are a lot of people okay with that. Anything else you'd like to say with that before I ask another question?
Yeah, I do. I want to say this, and I really want this nailed to hit in. As you explore sexual intimacy, understand the multiple strings that are attached to it. There's the physiological string, where if you're just compatible with someone sexually, you will have very good sex. And you may not even like them, but you could have great sex with them because you're physiologically, you're built, they're built the way you want them to be built. He's working with what you want him to be working with, et cetera. Then there's the other part of sex where you're looking for someone that is very expressive. Then there's another part of sex where it's you have the same fetish in common. So you have these people that, you know, they don't like each other, but they like feet, you know, or whatever weird thing to put on the chicken mask or whatever it is. And then there's another level of sex where the longer you go without it, the better it seems to be, when in fact, after you, a few interactions with that person, you realize, okay, this really wasn't all that good, but like a ravenous man or a beast, I haven't had this in so long that it seemed like it was fantastic until you realize that, you know, I'll give an example. If you've ever been hungry and you were at work or at an airport, a bag of chips tastes like it has gravy on it. You know what I'm saying? You, if a bag of barbecue potato chips or whatever your snack is, or Snickers bar just seems so fulfilling, but it's because you're so hungry. It doesn't mean that it's really all that good. You're just in a vulnerable, famished position where you can appreciate the fact that you have something satisfying and urge. So with all of that connected, sex is something that you need to really define, why am I doing this? You know, what does this mean to me? And after this is over with, what am I willing to do? You know, okay, yeah, I talked her panties off. Do I really want this woman, though? Well, maybe you might not want to talk her panties off if you don't really want her. He is so fine. He's packing. He's got all these muscles. Okay, good. But he can't spell cat without the K. Was it really worth it? So just remember, this is another situation where you cannot unstrike a match.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about spending time together. I'm going to give you a couple of observations. I'm a people watcher, not the kind that's just I'm nosy watching for stuff. That whenever I'm out and I see people, I just kind of glance and watch and look and learn. Last summer, I was at a pool party, and I noticed a couple who were stretched out on the, I'm having trouble thinking of the word, but anyway, they were on poolside what are they called? The little things that fold out. But anyway, they were, both of them were side by side. And I was there for probably 3 hours, and I watched them both, beautiful people, but both of them had their cell phones in front of them texting the entire time, literally were very much not connecting with each other. Not that I was just watching them. I was just at another place where I was sitting whenever I came back to sit down. That I noticed, and they were right by the pool, so anybody really could see them. But there was very little interaction between them, and I just thought that was, you know, you're at a party for one thing, but I thought that was really, really unusual, but not the first time I've seen that happen. Now, in contrast, I'm at the gym, and I see a couple working out together. Cutest thing ever. She's on one piece of equipment. He's working on some free weights. Every now and then he comes over and kind of, you know, says something to her, even gives her a little kiss, gives a little rub on her behind me. You know, just, and you could tell it was just, they just had the most wonderful connection with each other. They chuckled about it. He'd go back and he'd do a little bit more stuff and come back. But just the kind of touching that wasn't meaning, I want to be with you right now, so what if there are other people in here? It was just a connection. So I'm putting that out there because both of these were together times for these couples. But they stood in both of those situations, really stood out in my mind. And I think it's so important to be together, to do things together. But you said it best when you said be present. If you're together, you need to be together, not on your cell phones separately or whatever may be creating that separateness. So I know you've got something to say about that, but I believe in that whole, you're going to be together, consciously making the effort to be together. I think there should be a lot of together time. What's your thoughts?
Well, couples that have lasting and meaningful relationships touch on a frequent basis, sometimes just a hug. They walk by and give each other a kiss on the cheek, or they reach and touch the other person's hand, things of that mm-hmm. nature. But when you see someone always needing their cell phone, I could see it if you are very busy. If you're a doctor, if you have a business and you need to be in touch because you're a decision maker, that's somewhat understandable. But even then, it comes to a place where you can't shut that down. You know, it comes to a place where do you really, if you're out with someone, do you take them so for granted that you can't give them your undivided attention for an hour? Maybe that's a sign that you don't really want to be there to begin with. And if you find someone is treating you that way, or that you're treating others that way, perhaps it's a good moment to do some self-reflection and ask yourself, why am I so dependent on needing to be connected to something that's not present, and what is present, I'm not even engaging?
Well, it's interesting when you think about the scenario that I described, that you're using your cell phone for all of that communicating, communicating, but you're not communicating with the person that you're actually with. There's some real disconnect there, and that's just my thought about it. And certainly, as you said, there are things that can command your attention, but again, it comes down to something else you said. You got to think about that. Is that really what you need to be doing? Is it essential at that time? Because if you're with the person that you love and in a relationship, then we have to tell ourselves, teach ourselves, think ourselves into making that connection and not making those other things the priority, quote unquote, because I don't know that they really should be if we're trying to create the most happiness and harmony between each other. And communication has always been at the top of the list as far as relationship harmony that I've heard over the years. Is that still the case?
Well, I'll say it this way. There is this thing called dependent personality disorder. When you cannot escape having something to play with, something to give you attention, just go back to when you were a kid. And I know mommies are different now. Mothers now, some mothers need a spanking as bad as the kid. But the truth of it is, when I was a child, you didn't sit in church playing a game. You didn't, your parents would tell you, sit down and pay attention. You did not have this means to escape being present. And that's what we're doing. We are looking for things to fill us because we want to escape being present. And then what is so foolish, in my opinion, is you're asking for someone to be present with you, and when they show up, you're behind, is still not present. That's crazy as hell. I mean, why do it?
It is.
Why want someone to show up in your life? Why want a relationship? And while they're there, you still got to have your phone out texting. I mean, so yeah, a lot of people that are listening to this show right now are going, well, Dr. D, I thought we were going to be, talking about finding some love. Well, yeah, you want love, but once you get it, you're going to just do the same thing you've been doing. So do you think God is so stupid that he's going to send you somebody to abuse, to neglect, to shun? He's not. And if you happen to have enough charisma to attract someone to you, and then you're wondering, well, you know what, I'm built nice, I make good money, I had sex with him, why did he cheat on me? Well, duh, or why did she cheat on me? It's real simple. You were never there. You thought you were there. But the truth is, 90% of the time that you were together, 50% of that time, your mind was somewhere else.
Wow. Yeah, I'm inclined to see things that way, too. That's certainly been an observation that I've had as I've, watched. It's a very hard place to be in a relation with someone who's not giving you the attention that is necessary, and I won't say the attention that you need, the attention that's necessary to create some intimacy or harmony with someone else. What other things can you think of as we start looking at wrapping that you can say would be positive things that people could do to happier moments and more harmonious moments?
Well, for those that – I'm going to answer that question two different ways. For those of you that are single, connect in more meaningful ways to the things you're already doing. If you're going to church, quit going in there looking for a man or for a woman. Go in there and try to find God. Actually spend some time with God, you dig? Go and enjoy life. Enjoy Starbucks and a book. And you will be surprised the number of people that will notice you minding your business. Where when you're trying to get noticed, it is a complete turnoff. But if you're just in there, because people like people that are driven, that are aware and engaging life. People are attracted to that. If you're in a gym working out, if you're just walking your dog and enjoying your dog, you will get noticed more than if you're out trying to get noticed. The people that have relationships that are already in the midst of someone's life or something, revisit why you were there. Revisit what attracted you to them. Revisit the essence of that relationship. What is it based on? Matter of fact, go to my website. There are a couple of tests on it. It's Dr. D, and no period, just drdivanyoung.com. There are a couple of relationship tests on there. One of them I put on a blog the other day that I wrote that you'll see the picture of the girl from 12 Years a Slave. I don't even remember the name of the blog. But if you go and look at that stuff and take those tests, you will start quickly assessing, okay, am I in something that's sliding downhill? Or is this really a relationship? Or is this my way of killing time with somebody because I can't stand being alone with me? Because I've got news for you. If you can't stand being alone with you, why in the hell would somebody else want to be alone with you? Oh, I found it. The name of that thing is Know When to Leave a Relationship. Take that test, and if you score less than 80% on it, you probably can fix that with a little counseling. But if you score less than 60, you might want to get to the stepping.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you to tell again how to get that information. That's really, really good. It sounds like in all of what we have talked about today, so much of it rests on the responsibility of the individual and their understanding and awareness on their own to learn and understand how to find their own sense of emotional balance in order to be able to take something healthy and functional into the relationship and not have this idea of depending on or expecting someone else to create that harmony and happiness. They need to have a good sense of being able to bring that to a relationship. Is that right?
Yeah, people are inherently lazy. So we say we want these things, but we don't do what it takes to have them. You know, people say, well, you know, I really want to be built this way. And next thing you see them with a bottle of hydroxy cut. No, put them green beans in that biscuit back. You don't, that's why you, the hydroxy cut isn't going to work. It's the equivalent of going to, I remember a comedian, Robin Harris, made a joke once saying he was at Taco Bell. And this woman walks in and orders 12 tacos, 2 burritos, and a Diet Coke. You know, there are times where we have to go, really? I mean, really? And that applies to relationships, too, where you look at interacting with people and saying, you know, I want my soulmate. And I want a man, and he's got to love the Lord. Well, first of all, does he even love himself? You know, you want him to love God. That Negro may very well love God, but he doesn't love himself and anybody else. You know, or I look at women that are, well, you know, my pastor said, look, sister, first stop that. Stop it. You know, your pastor's crazy. You need to study and get a relationship with God for yourself. And when you get that relationship, you're going to realize all of a sudden the Jesus you're following was not religious. If anything, he said, have life and life more abundantly, which means get out and enjoy your life, which means get out and look at the birds, look at nature, go for a walk. These are the things that are going to bring you to happiness. You will never find transcendence through another person. You cannot get a skirt short enough, lingerie sexy enough. You will never make enough money. You will never be able to bait someone in enough for them to stay with you, because at the end of the day, your representative sooner than later is going to either stop performing or be so exhausting that it's going to sit down. Then the real you comes out. And all of this, all of this presentation that you've been embellishing falls to the side, and you're going to realize again that's why your behind is lonely. You know, just one other little caveat. I see people, like, I make it a point to tell people thank you and I love you. Something I've learned. And it doesn't mean I want to jump your bones. It doesn't mean I'm in love with you. What I'm saying is I love the essence of who you are. I'm glad you're here type thing. And I had someone say to me, well, you know what, you don't love me. And I looked at them, I said, you think that little of yourself, huh? I said, that's really sad. Wow. You don't that someone could actually just love you just because you're there. I said, that's really sad. You know, and how can you, how can you get what God has for you? How can you get what the universe is trying to send you away when you're walking around with your fists clenched and your teeth gnarly? You know, you cannot receive anything with a clenched hand.
Yeah, I really like what you just said, because it's saying I love you because I love, not because you are making me love you. I love you because I love. That's who I am. That's really great. I really, really, really like that. And I also really like that where we wrap this up is saying that if you really want to create harmony and happiness in a relationship, bring the happiness and harmony to it.
That's a good
thing. Well, tell us. I'm sorry, repeat what you just said?
No, I just said that's a very true statement.
Yes. Why don't you tell us with the last couple of minutes that we have about your books and about your radio show and how people can reach out to you?
Well, I'll make it the simple thing. If you follow Facebook, go to D. Yvonne Young. It's spelled like Ivan, and a D like in David, Derek, dog, whatever. But D, I-V-A-N, Y-O-U-N-G. And you will find on that page, please, for hitting that 10,000 fan mark, we are giving away like $5,000 worth of gifts and prizes, lots of free coaching, webinars, all that kind of stuff. So all you got to do is hit the like button. If you haven't already liked the page, just hit the like button. And the way this contest works is the more you participate, the more you increase your odds to win. And we don't want you to buy anything. We, you know, just hit the like button, share, comment. That's how you win. The more active you are, the more points. And my programmers are brilliant. I don't know how they did it, but they track everything that's going on, and that's our way of saying thank you. The other thing is just go to Doctor Without the Period, drdivanyoung.com. There's a plethora of materials there, from books, radio show, all that stuff is on my website. And then finally, you know, it's really not about me, but if I can help you, what we do with my brand is give people the tools that they need to live a profoundly extraordinary life. So if your life is anything short of that, definitely get in contact with us.
Well, I do want you to say a couple things because you're a best-selling author. Just give us the short of Don't Break Down and Another Chance so that people will see why they need to grab those books on your site. Just tell us the short of what Break Up, Break Down is and Another Chance because I think it's really neat.
Well, Break Up, Don't Break Down, the Associated Press said this is the relationship manual. It's a best-selling book. Which most people, when they go through the anxiety and embarrassment and shame and anger surrounding a breakup, they don't know what to do. So it actually tells you A, B, C. Here's what you can expect. Here's how you're going to feel. Here's how you get out of that feeling. Here's how you take a step not to repeat history, et cetera, et cetera. Another Chance, critics in New York have been very favorable toward that book. They've said that it picks up where The Secret left off. It answers questions you don't even know to ask. It is a step further than purpose-driven life, and it really helps you to have conversations with God. So it's been compared to those three books. I would suggest if you're at a place in your life where you're going, what the hell? You know, why am I here? What do I do? I've tried everything. Nothing works. I've written affirmations. I've done the vision board. I've prayed. I've done fasting. Everything. Nothing works. Well, you're still here for a reason. There's a reason why it didn't work, and that's because you're doing it all wrong. If you read Another Chance, Where Would You Be Without One? It will get your life back on track and give you meaning to the very moment that you're in right now.
Yes. Okay, that's wonderful. I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. I know that I can always count on you to bring it with the real talk, real deal. So I appreciate all that you have shared today, and I'm always assured when I choose my guests that listeners are going to have some type of direction they can take or nugget they can chew on, and no doubt you've given us a great deal to be enlightened about. I appreciate you so much and for taking the time, and you were my guest last year, and I want to make sure people know that thousands of people made sure they heard what you had to say, so we know that you're doing what you're doing, and it's really making a difference. And again, thank you for taking the time to be on Foxology today.
Hey, thank you, Ray. Love you, baby. Take care of yourself.
All right. Love you, baby. Thank you.
Love you.
All right. You take care. Thanks. And I want to thank all of you so much for taking the time to tune in. That's some good stuff, huh? Yes, indeed. The things we do for love. Well, there are a lot of things that we can do to show love, learn about love, and to live it out. So I want to make sure you get it. Absolutely. But one of the more important things of all, if you want a loving, happy, and harmonious relationship, then it's best that you bring the love, the happy, and the harmony to it. You know, that's a good thing. I hope you'll tell your friends on Facebook and other places about Foxology today. I do have my show regularly on Mondays at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time, and on occasion, I do put some extras in during the week, and I make sure I post that information. But it's all for you, and that's what I want you to know. I want us all to stay in the loop, be educated, enlightened, inspired, and motivated by the information and the people that I bring to you. I hope you have the most amazing day. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening.